Okay, we are in 2 Kings chapter 23, and the last three verses on the kingship of Josiah. So we're bringing everything to a close this evening. This will be a short time that we'll have together with these three verses, and then we'll have some major prayer time, I hope, and then we'll do some more singing. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 28 through 30. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. King Josiah went to meet him. And Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo as soon as he saw him. And his servants carried him dead in a chariot from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's place. Lord, as we consider these short three verses and the end of the kingship of Josiah, pray that you would give us understanding of them. There are difficult things here, and just pray that you would ease our way to the glory of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first verse is simple. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? It's a rhetorical question because, yes, indeed, they are written in the Chronicles of the kings of Judah. Sometime, when you have the opportunity, read 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, because they, as well, deal with the kingship of Josiah, and in some ways, as we're going to see this evening, expand on some of what's written in 2 Kings. There's nothing antithetical or opposite about the two accounts. It's just written by two different authors who have brought this material together. And I think it's appropriate to say that the author of 2 Chronicles was later than the author of 2 Kings, so that's why you get a more expanded account on Josiah. But there's nothing in disagreement between what we read in 2 Chronicles 34 35, as well as 2 Kings 22 and 23. Okay, so that's worth your reading sometime, just to learn more about Josiah. Okay, that's quick, wasn't it? Now, verse 29. In his days, Josiah's days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. King Josiah went to meet him, and Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo as soon as he saw him. Now, this is one of the areas in which 2 Chronicles can help us understand 2 Kings better. So, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 35, verses 20 through 27. 2 Chronicles 35, 20 through 27. Now, 2 Kings 23 only has one verse or two verses on the death and burial of Josiah. 2 Chronicles has a much larger section, so let's read that. 2 Chronicles 35, beginning at verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, which we've been reading about for a number of weeks now, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates. And Josiah went out to meet him. But he sent envoys to him saying, here's the Egyptian king, Pharaoh, sent envoys to Josiah saying, what have we to do with each other, king of Judah? I'm not coming against you this day, but against the house with which I am at war. And God has commanded me to hurry. See, supposing God who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah did not turn away from him, but disguised himself in order to fight with him. He did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to fight in the plain of Megiddo. And the archer shot King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am badly wounded. So the servants took him out of the chariot and carried him in his second chariot and brought him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah. You know what that is? That's the book of Lamentations. It's about Josiah. He uttered a lament for Josiah. We'll take a look at one or two verses there in a minute. And all the singing men and singing women have spoken of Josiah in their laments to this day. They made these a rule in Israel. Behold, they are written in the laments. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his good deeds according to what is written in the law of the Lord and his acts, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Exactly. Which we have been looking at. The books of the kings of Israel and Judah is 2 Kings. So you see how they're playing off one another. Now, what's been going on here is something that's common historically. And that is Egypt, which is to the southwest of Judah, and Assyria, which is to the northeast of Judah, are fighting. And guess where the battleground is? Israel is always the punching bag of the Middle East. It sits right at the, Israel and Judah, they sit right at the crossroads of the two major societies in antiquity. The society that lives around the Nile River and the society that lives around the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Those are the two ancient, huge societies in the ancient Near East. And where do they fight? Israel's right in the middle, punching bag. Okay. So, that's kind of what's going on here. Now, Josiah, apparently, we have not seen this thus far, is on the side of the Assyrians. And so, when the Egyptians come, Josiah takes his army up to Megiddo and fights against the Egyptians. Now, note again, where is this battle? It's the site of Megiddo. Is Megiddo in Judah? No, it's in the old land of Israel. Remember, Josiah was constantly trying to envelop the northern kingdom that used to be the northern kingdom to make it back into... He wanted a united kingdom. Josiah wanted to bring everything back together. He wanted a Davidic kingdom. Remember what the promise was of God way back in 1 Kings, that a son of David will come named Josiah, who will bring a revival, a reformation to the land. And that is exactly what Josiah is trying to do. However, that's not what happens. Josiah, as we read in 2 Chronicles, is shot through with arrows, wounded gravely, taken back to Jerusalem, to the capital city of Judah, and there dies. He's 39 years old. And he dies. One who had come under great theological conviction when he was 16. One who brought a huge reformation to Judah and Jerusalem when he was 24. And that's continuing from his age of 24, 26, all the way to his death at the age of 39. That's what I was looking at. I was saying, how the good die young, don't they? How the good die young. Here's this good king. I mean, Manasseh ruled over 50 years. Why would that rotten snake be on the throne of Jerusalem for over 50 years? And here, Josiah taken out in his prime. Why did the Lord take him at such a young age? Made me think of great Scots preacher Robert Murray M'Cheyne, was pastor of St. Peter's Church in Dundee. Church was packed week after week. Dundee itself was undergoing great revival. This was in the 1840s. A godly man. You know, ever get a chance to read Andrew Bonar's biography of M'Cheyne? And the Lord took him when he was 29 years old. And you're like,
my goodness, God, how are you, what are you doing? You take a man like that at 29. When you take a man like Josiah, who's 39, these men who were bringing revivals to their lands. Lord, what are you doing? And then Manasseh reigns for 55 years. And then Scotland itself has been a mess ever since. Deadly spiritually. And you're like, Lord, what are you doing? Well, it's a good question, isn't it? I had a old seasoned pastor. He's been dead now maybe 35, 40 years now. He said to me one time, he said, young man, it's hard to believe he said that to me, young man, when I look to man, I'm discouraged. When I look to Christ, I'm encouraged. That was some of the greatest advice I ever got as a young person in this in ministry. Was that very saying? It's not Josiah that we're to look to. It's not Robert Murray McChain we're to look to. It's the Lord. And it's amazing the things that God did through someone like McChain, even to today, although he only lived to be 29. As people read his biography, you just hear of hundreds of people who were affected in the most amazing ways by reading McChain's sermons that were kept by Bonar and so forth. Just the most amazing thing. And so we can't, we judge the wrong way, don't we? We judge by the number of years rather than God's work through these men, through Josiah. Wonderful revival, although he died young. And McChain, amazing revival that took place throughout Scotland, although he only lived to be 29. So we have to look at things not through our human eyes, but look at things through the eyes of Christ and the amazing things he did through Josiah and others who lived to a young age. That takes us to verse 30. And his servants carried him dead in a chariot from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. And as you read 2 Chronicles, that there was no one like Josiah, and the people loved Josiah, and they buried Josiah with all pomp and circumstance and so forth. And then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's place. And what happened? What happened? Let's read about Jehoahaz. Verses 31 through the end of the chapter. Here's Josiah's son. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bonds at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and laid on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the place of Josiah, his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land from everyone according to his assessment to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebida, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. What happened? Both these kings were sons of Josiah. Both these kings were sons of Josiah, who brought the Reformation throughout Judah and Jerusalem. What has happened? Well, as we talked about last time, Josiah's reformation was probably more about Josiah than it was about Judah and Jerusalem. The people fall right back into it. And as you read the last chapters of 2 Kings, they fall back into the idolatry. They fall back into all those things that Josiah had taken care of for a while. And again, and finally, let's just end here. Do we say then, well, Josiah's reign was worthless? Was it worthless? Did it come to nothing?
Did they lose the book of the Lord again in the
temple? We don't know that. But did it come to nothing? No, it is to teach us not to look for salvation and deliverance and answers from a human king. There's only one king who we are to look to, and that is King Jesus. On my PCA ordination exams, the very first question was this: who is head of the church? And it's the most powerful answer. Now, I would use this on my students all the time. I'd say, who's the head of the church? And they go, Jesus. And I'd go, do you know what the answer is? Christ alone. Christ alone is head of the church. Not Josiah. Not Robert Murray McChain. Not any man. Jesus alone is the answer. And is the only means of reformation. Is Christ himself. Okay, let's pray for this. Most Heavenly Father, as we look at these stories and we kind of go into despair because we see, Josiah just tries to bring this reformation and it comes about for a while, but then he's killed and then the people just go back to their sinful ways. It was not lasting. And why is that? Lord, because the people weren't looking to you as King, as Jesus as King. May we recognize that in this church, that you are King Jesus. And it's in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen.